Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You are listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source, and amateur radio for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Cheryl, W5MOO, and Bill, NE4RD.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. This is episode 620 of Linux in the Ham Shack, the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet. Thanks for joining us for this episode. This week, we're telling you about what we've been up to, along with taking a jaunt through some short topics in the world of amateur radio, Linux, and open source. But before we get to that, we should introduce ourselves. For our silent key, Russ, K5TUX, I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD, and yes, welcome back, and sorry about pushing the podcast. I know everybody expects that podcast to come out on Monday mornings when I click the publish button. But we had Father's Day and weather power stuff and stuff going on in the theater. I just couldn't make it back in time to record at a normal time. So we're recording on an off day here. It's Tuesday, the 23rd of June, and I'll probably get it out tonight, if not very early in the morning. So you can all enjoy this at your leisure and be worried about us not being around. So there you go for that. So let's figure out, what did we do this week, Cheryl?
Well, let's see here. For food, I've been better about cooking. I fixed honey walnut chicken with some broccoli. Some Bursin-style cheese, homemade, of course. Stuffed chicken with the same cheese stuffed into some Peppadew peppers that were wrapped in bacon. And some roasted garlic sour cream mashed potatoes. And last night I had what I call a BELT, which is bacon, egg, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, with some dill pickle pasta salad, which I added a dash of pickle-flavored hot sauce to it. And because of an almost last-minute decision to record tonight, not sure what's for dinner. Maybe another BELT. Who knows? But the pasta salad was gone at lunchtime, though, because it was really good. As far as my computer stuff, paying bills and probate, that's my life right now. And radio. Well, there's a new thing with the radios. Because our weather has been such a chaotic mess, we were having a horrible lightning storm couple of weeks ago where our neighbor's building was hit and burnt to the ground and trees were being hit and everything else. So I was 3 a.m. I was madly disconnecting radios and antennas and everything else. So the next time Bill is in Missouri, he's going to get to put all the antenna stuff back together because Russ had a jigsaw puzzle of antenna wires. And I'm not exactly
sure they're all labeled, right?
Oh, yes, of course, because Russ was so good about doing that.
Yeah, we'll have to put some colored tape on the ones that like disconnect these. The rest you don't have
to do. Exactly. Don't touch the rest of these. Yeah. After I got everything disconnected, I was like, well, I probably didn't have to do all of these, but I was in the dark and pitch dark. Just feeling around on the back of radios going, yeah, you feel like an antenna wire. Let's unscrew you. So, so that was fun. So, yeah, you get a huge mess to clean up when you come here. And nice. Then today I spent a big chunk of my day outside because the next several days they're calling for horrific rainstorms yet again. So I was trying to get stuff done, get the trash out, get stuff shuffled around, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think I got everything done. So what's Bill been up to?
Well, I mean, the reason why we didn't record the week before was because I was out of town. So, I spent about a week in Monterey, California with my wife, and we had a nice time, ate some food, saw lots of sea lions and seals and all kinds of interesting whales and stuff like that on a whaling trip that we went out and watched, or what, a whale watching trip, not a whaling trip. We weren't stabbing whales or something like that. But we saw a whole bunch of various dolphins, porpoises. We saw a basking shark, which is, I guess, pretty rare sighting. We saw some sneak whales. So I don't know what they're called.
Okay. But anyway,
saw a humpback whale and then about 11 blue whale. So it was a pretty busy whaling trip to whale watching trip. Even the people that do the trip, they're like, yeah, this is very rare. They're like, I don't normally we can see like maybe one species, maybe two, but to have like 7, 8, or 9 all in one trip, including some very, very rare things like the basking shark. Yeah, that was it was pretty fun. So yeah, we ate a lot of food, and we did a lot of different places to try different beers and stuff like that. So yeah, it was a great trip for that kind of thing. Also got us away from having to do our normal daily working things and stuff like that. So lots of fun. Computer stuff. I'm going to be buried in computer stuff here coming shortly, working on Jamboree stuff. So I'm not really doing anything except for that. Radio stuff, same thing. I'm just configuring the same radio over and over again to the computers. So, which of course is the ICOM 7300 Mark IIs. And anything else besides that? Not really. Lots of theater stuff going on. I spent my Father's Day down at the theater selling concessions and then striking a set. So, that was my Father's Day. all my kids and everything else were busy. So. So that was that. Well, that gets us on into our topics, and let's see here. I'm just looking at the order. I should probably take the first one, so I will do the very first one here. And okay. This is it's a weird news week when we're talking about events with dates, because that's looking 1, 2, 3. Yeah, all three of these topics are date related. The first one here is the ARRL Field Day is happening this weekend. Yes, that's right. So I have to get this podcast out so you know it's Field Day, because you get all your news from us. Field Day is happening June 27th and 28th, 2026. This year's Field Day theme is Amateur Radio, a National Resource. Combined with the ARRL Year of the Club, it provides the perfect opportunity for radio clubs to set up stations in public places to demonstrate ham radio's science, skill, and service to our communities and our nation. The overall objective for Field Day is to contact as many stations as possible on the 160 through 10 meter HF bands, minus the works, as well as all bands above 50 megahertz, and to learn to operate in less than optimal conditions. Many clubs choose to set up in camp-style fashion with portable equipment, temporary antennas, and off-grid power sources. And, of course, this came from the ARRL because it is their event. Check out their booklet that gives you all of the extra points that you can collect for your event, which I'm sure you've already planned it. You already know where you're going to be. And yeah, you won't even need any of this information. You already know it's Field Day because it's always it's always this weekend in June. So I don't think I'll be on. Probably not. I probably won't be on.
You're probably going to be very busy.
Yeah, I have the other stuff to work on, and I also have the theater obligation again this weekend because we don't shut down things in the summer for some reason. I don't know why.
Okay, so our next event is the 13 Colonies Special Event 2026. In just a few weeks, one of the most popular summer operating events kicks off, the 13 Colonies Special Event. Now, in its 18th year, the event has grown from special event stations making approximately 12,000 contacts to last year making 296,000 contacts around the world. The event runs from July 1st, 9 a.m. to July 7th, midnight Eastern. This year, the organizers are recognizing America's sesquicentennial, by featuring many locations where the Declaration of Independence was first read in their city or colony. The event consists of one station operating in each of the 13 colonies, K2A through K2M, and three bonus stations, WM3PEN in Philadelphia, GB13COL in England, and TM13COL in France. each representing their city, state, or country's role in the America's colonial period. All stations will be offering a special QSL card. A few stations are offering special events within the special event. Philadelphia is participating in both the 13 Colonies special event as well as the World Soccer Tournament special event. Stations who work WM3PEN July 1st through 7th will get credit for both events, and with a QSL request, will get a special QSL card for each event. Ham radio operators and SWLs can participate in the event. Stations need only make one contact with each of the participating stations, or they can go for a clean sweep and work all 13 colony stations and the three bonus stations. This year's certificates can be downloaded or ordered online by mail. Operators can keep an eye out for the special event stations by watching many of the DX spotting networks, such as dxsummit.fi. And this information came from the 13 Colonies website.
Right. You only have to work one station to get your certificate. So I think you said each of the... You inserted each.
Sorry, yeah. The clean sweep was working everything, sorry.
Yeah, kind of brought it all together, yeah. So you only have to work one of the participating stations to get a certificate. Obviously,
right.
The more you've worked, then more of the little boxes will be checked in that certificate and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. I know it's a pretty popular event, and people are always excited about working and hosting the station as well. The next one is me, and of course, this is the big announcement that you probably already know about, is the National Scout Jamboree is coming up. why not have me do this one? The National Scout, because I didn't finish writing it, so I'm just I'm going to ad lib after I have the stuff I've written here. The National Scout Jamboree occurs generally every 4 years in the U.S. And amateur radio is always a component of the event. The K2BSA has been a station at the National Jamboree event since 1977, and ICOM America has been loaning the transceivers for the event since 2013 to ensure the success of the operation. This year is no different, and this time we get to put several ICOM IC7300 Mark IIs to the test in the operation. Amateur radio demonstrations in order to get several thousand scouts on the air begin July 22nd, and they will conclude on July 31st. Technically, I think it's July 30th because we're leaving on the 31st, and the antennas are coming down Thursday night. The K2BSA team will be, will be active on HF bands 40 and up. Yes, that's 40 and up, primarily on single sideband. We don't do a lot of digital, even though people think kids like watching digital stuff. I'm sorry, WSJTX is like watching paint dry. It's not very exciting. It's not very exciting to explain. And it looks like old man sport. So we basically do single sideband because we want people to talk on the radio, which generally is the most uncomfortable thing for people to do. they come to our tent, they have to talk on the radio. And be surprised, they want to talk more and more as soon as they break that very first time. And like, can we work another person? Yeah, we can do that for sure. And why do we do 40 and up? Well, that's what we have antennas for. We can throw wires up, but I tend to not like angly wires and verticals out in the field where people will trip on radials and stuff like that. So we have three beams, and one of those is a 40 meter rotatable dipole. So, well, not really a beam. Maybe one day it'll grow up and we'll get a director for it. Or reflector. As well, you can find the station active on D-Star Reflector REF-033 Alpha, which is a dedicated reflector for radio scouting. And we'll most likely have one of the local repeaters there connected to EchoLink to the Star JOTA-365 Star conference room. As well, you can connect directly to the repeaters. I've been assured that they will be connected. we've had to do some repairs and stuff like that on them. And our good friend Chris Hatcher over in West Virginia has been working on those. And I think he's gotten everything tidied up and back online and working, including a couple little coax problems that needed to be sorted out. So those will be there. They will be connectable via All-Star and EchoLink. So if you need that information, just look it up in the repeater book. They're right on property at the Summit Bechtel Reserve. And what else? If you need more information, follow KTBSA on Facebook or Instagram. And that's pretty much the only social media stuff that K2BSA does, because it's tied in with the website and everything else, and it makes it easy for us. So yeah, check us out. We'll be there July 22nd through the 30th. I have people on the ground from the 18th, July 18th to the 31st. Well, technically to the 1st. I think we have a few people heading out on that Saturday. But I hope to be gone by Friday. So, at least in theory, that's sort of how it works. Anyway, and I say every 4 years. The last one was in 2023, since COVID messed up the 2021 Jamboree, but pushed it 2 years out. We've been trying to get back onto our schedule. So every 2 years, there's either the National Scout Jamboree or the World Jamboree that happens somewhere else in the world. So a scout has normally an opportunity to run both events in their scouting lifetime or whatever they're scouting. As an adult, generally, like, you have to be 14 and up, so pretty much high school age in order to go to some of these national and world events. So they like having them 2 years apart, so there's a possibility that you will overlap to both events within the context of your scouting career. So yeah, check it out. Yeah, that's all I have on that. Sorry.
It's cool that they get to do that. So
Yep. And it's fun too for the adults. The adults kind of have some fun. You know, at least my staff, it always seems to like playing radio and likes getting people on the radios and stuff like that for that length of time. We normally get about 4,000 or so kids on the radio, which is really good. We normally do about it's a little over 300 merit badges. There's a potential that we'll have some kind of dignitary from DC show up, which might throw us off a day, because sometimes they have to shut down programs for those kind of, like, either presidential, vice presidential, defense, whatever, Department of War, whatever, visits. So I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. It has happened. It didn't happen in 2023. But I did happen before that. It's definitely 2019 at the World Jamboree. 2017, there was a visit to, I was trying to remember. I can't remember all of them.
What do you have to do in order to get the Ham Radio Merit Badge?
So they have a pamphlet for it, and they basically have to sit through, like, a class of some sort, and then show proficiency at doing some of the tasks outlined in the Radio Merit Badge. So in this case, it's like drawing a block diagram for, like, a radio and an antenna, real simple stuff, drawing some waves forms and stuff like that. And then they have to get on the radio and make a contact. Now, they do have separate components. They can do an amateur radio direction finding component instead of the radio contact, which I believe we'll also have available to us through the STEM program, because there is some people doing, at least they told me this. I don't know for sure. So we'll see. We'll see what comes out of that. I mean, this is still, like, for some reason, they're still planning this. And I'm like, we're beyond the time we can plan it. We're, like, most of the stuff, I put together an operations guide that literally looks the same every time that we do it. Like, we do the same thing every time. We rinse and repeat. We have a program ready to go. So anytime we have to add different things, like, doing an ISS contact or doing this or doing balloons and stuff like that, it really just complicates things. And then I have to get, like, special people involved that know exactly how to do that, so we can do it without making us look like we don't know what we're doing. Some of us are just, like, contesters and stuff like that. Like, we know how to use the radio really well. We know how to get kids on the radio very well, but yeah, launching a balloon with a payload on it, yeah, that takes a bit more skill than you think.
Right, yeah.
Like, you get a party balloon and just, I'm just going to attach this little bleepy box on it and call it good. I watched a guy do, like, three of them at 2019. And it was at the World Jamboree that we had there, and... yeah, I think, like, two of them ran into problems.
Nice.
One went off without a hitch, and then they were all pretty much dead before the jamboree was over, because they had encountered storms because of the time period we launched them. So
nice.
Yeah. So kind of like a low. Yeah. I like the things that we can do and execute, and I can measure
somewhat
success.
Flawlessly. Yeah.
Yeah. I can measure the success. I mean, some stuff is like, yeah, it seems like a really good idea, but it's really hard to measure the success of that. So,
right.
Let's move on to open source and Linux topics. And I've been yakking. Why don't you take this?
Okay, well, our first open source Linux topic is Ubuntu is adding AI-powered voice input to all text fields. And Canonical's VP of Engineering, John Seeger, at the Ubuntu Summit, said the distro will soon let users press a button and talk into any field you would previously type in. A small on-device AI language parsing model like Whisper will power the feature. It's part of a wider push to integrate AI features into Ubuntu this year, with founder Mark Shuttleworth aiming to position Ubuntu as the